Fred Film Radio, Berlin International Film Festival, Germany.
Fred Film Radio, this is Nicolo Comotti here at 64 Berlinale, and today we're in company with Dominic Graf, director of Beloved Sisters here at the competition. Welcome, Dominic.
Right, welcome.
So let's just start with a very brief question, although probably the answer would be a bit longer. So can you just outline a bit Beloved Sisters for us?
Oh, yeah. Der Dichter Friedrich Schiller, weltbekannt, trifft 1788 in Rudolstadt. Das ist ein kleines.
So it's of course about the world famous poet Friedrich Schiller, who in the 1880s at the Dukedom of Saale met these two impoverished sisters who were small from the small aristocracy, if you will, and one of them is still looking for a groom she wants to marry, but Friedrich Schiller himself is very poor and he's just going through a crisis of writing, a writer's crisis, but he meets those two sisters and the three of them, they fall in love with each other. And they swear a solemn oath never to abandon each other, and they try to live this menage a trois, this triangle of love in secret, and they try to keep it a secret, and in order to do that, he marries one of those sisters, and the other is supposed to somehow join into that triangle. Over the years, and this is really my personal take on this story, you know, they tried, and that is so beautiful, you know, what I find beautiful in this story is that they tried to live their love, the whole three of them. They always tried to be good to each other. They didn't want to hurt each other. There was no jealousy. There were no intrigues, in so much that they didn't have intrigues inside of that triangle. They, of course, did everything that was necessary to keep it a secret, but they just wanted to live together and share their love, but of course over the years and as life developed and the difficulties arose, time just made it impossible, and of course also the increasing, the severe disease of Schiller's turned the whole story into a drama in the end.
Schiller, die immer stärker wurde über die Jahre hinweg, hat das Ganze dann doch zu einem Drama werden lassen.
So, the project itself is extremely ambitious, you know, from the actual length of the feature to all the content and the history spanning throughout, you know, Schiller, which is such a pivotal moment, you know, a key moment for European cultural and social development. When did you actually decide, you know, that you had this huge idea to develop into moving image? Was it actually a long kind of dream that, you know, little by little through funding it came to life in 2013-14, or
no? It was the idea of to tell this story, which is even in Germany quite unknown. Schiller is only known as the Sturm und Drang animal, you know, with strong words, pathetic lines, great plays, and hard death, so to say, and the smaller brother of Goethe, like that. But this story isn't known. In my view, the producer suggested it to me, und ich habe versucht, diese 13 Jahre, in fact, the 13 years that are told in this film, die 13 Jahre dieser Liebe oder dieser Beziehung so zu schildern, dass man eigentlich immer, wie er eben sagte, inside the triangle bleibt.
Okay, I just tried to tell the story that actually spans a time frame of 13 years in this movie. I just tried to tell the story of this love, of the relationship, and I think, you know, I wanted to describe it in a way that allows us to actually stay inside of that love triangle. But of course, you also have to tell the story of what was happening around them in the society at large and in Europe at the time, for example. Even if it's just short snapshots of the developments that took place in Europe and with the French Revolution and the creation of the Weimar classicist movement, if you will, after 1795. And you always have to also allude to these external factors. And of course, 13 years is just a long time for a story to tell, and even in terms of cinema. So it is a story of the transition towards the rather more private in society. So we are starting out with the traditional court-based kind of societal view of the Rococo era that then gives way to classicism and afterwards to the rather more bourgeois level of privacy as a new concept.
In den Klassizismus, in das Empire, in den Beginn der bürgerlichen Gesellschaft. Das ist der Kern an dieser Geschichte.
What I'm really intrigued also is, you know, throughout your filmography, you can kind of pinpoint moments of your research into the sort of like the search and quest of where love gets its boundaries, or and how to be, you know, to go beyond the classic and ordinary love that we're used to, and obviously you perfectly portray this, you know, with the sort of tension, continuous tension of the love triangle. At the same time, the historical context sometimes can be incredibly challenging as a filmmaker and director and writer, because it can be also overpowering. Did you apply a sort of method to actually, you know, to have a balance and continue and keep the balance all throughout the screenplay and therefore then the production?
No, it's not a method. It's, as I just said, it's I wanted to stay inside the rooms inside the love discussion, the love dialogue between the three, and I just wanted to show short moments of ideas, even more than real events in Paris, the breakdown of the French Revolution, the cruelty, the complete return of all these great poets at the time back into privacy. That is into also not only into privacy, also into away from politics, away from anything public, back to discussions about aesthetics and philosophy. So they were shocked by what they had, what had risen from their anger in the first place, and they even Schiller was offered the French the französische
Nationality,
and he refused. He didn't want to join with this murder pack, he said.
And always regarding to this, in terms of research as well, how did you do it then? If you always
There's not so much research. Okay. Most of it you learn in school, and the rest you read when you start. The producer offered me the story, and I immediately jumped into, I think, 10 different books about it. So there are books in Germany, but obviously nobody knows it.
And
it's easy to research. There is a lot of original stuff, and also of biographies in the last 10-20 years written.
And regarding the actors, I mean, because they are really the key all throughout. We can, you know, through their expressions and the angst, we can actually decode all this tension all throughout this 170-minute feature. Can you just tell us, like, how did you find Florian Henriette? Was he a painstaking research in the casting thing, or you just found these beautiful faces and then worked with them, especially also in pre and during the production?
Nein, ich die erste, die ich mir sofort irgendwie die besetzt war die Henriette. Die hatte ich gesehen in einem deutschen Film. Der spielte in Südamerika.
So the first role that was actually cast right away was that of Henriette. I had seen her in a German movie that was actually taking place in South America, and it was about the search for Adolf Eichmann. And in her face, you could see this, you know, sense of innocence, and it almost looked naive, but you know, I could very well imagine that over time she could develop this kind of wisdom that comes out of life. So that was an easy thing to do. And then the next was Hanna Herzsprung. For Hanna Herzsprung, she was, ideal because not only the emotionality that she displayed, but also, you know, these little tics or cramps that she displays in the movie, that she shows in the movie, and that the original character had, both in love as well as in life. And Hannah not only play-acted to show these, but she somehow brought it to life. And so I thought that these two sisters that were so contradictory, at least in part, would could actually form the perfect sides to this triangle. They would very, very well complement each other. That's what it was.
Und dass das Ganze dann so ein Dreieck gibt, dass sich gegenseitig erfüllt.
And just to conclude, I'm kind of curious. I'll try to formulate this question and see what Dominic can tell us. Usually, especially when you tackle this, universally known subject, so anyway, the figures that represent history, we always have this sort of overarching and universal idea of history as something that is based upon, education and not complementary, but a general and common idea of history. Do you think through the kind of unraveling, or anyway, the highlighting of the private life, mm-hmm. of what's behind the history, it's a new way to actually discuss it again and kind of always bring new and fresh ideas into what can become stale sometimes?
Ja, das ist, aber das ist in meiner Generation, also aufgewachsen mit dem klassischen Geschichtsunterricht in der Schule, taucht
Well, in my generation, I grew up with the classic traditional form of history classes, and then in the 70s there was a paradigm shift with researchers and intellectuals like Bordel, for example, who then looked at the everyday life components of history and looked at the most minute aspects of how people behaved and how they comported themselves and their effects, their emotionality, how they actually experienced life back then. And this led to a new way of recounting history and researching history. And so instead of history just being like a shelf with fixed compartments or drawers that have their labels on them, history became somewhat more fluid. And just like life is. So we were witnessing the mixture of, the bigger political issues that determine history, but also all the small everyday details that found their way into this new historical narrative. And that actually changed my view of how you could make a historical movie. And I also had a smaller project about the Biedermeier era in Germany, but this actually influenced my view on how you could recount history in a movie.
Der nächste hat meinen Blick auf die wie man historischen Film machen kann unheimlich beeinflusst. For instance, I could if you look at the way the French Revolution is told in this picture, it's I think nobody will really notice, but the idea was we start at Schiller's history lecture in Jena. We see them dancing and celebrating that he's finally now earns a bit more money than before. And in the middle of that, I try to, as with symbolic pictures, put in the French Revolution, which actually took place later, a few months later. And then I jump back again into the evening of this celebration in Jena, where at that time nothing has happened, but it's a sort of foreshadowing something that is already under the skin of the even of this beautiful and nice day. There will be something coming and they will all be shocked. So and then you jump back. That's not the usual way of wie man die Zeiten unterteilt oder wie man chronologically it's unchronologically in a way, but it's something as if one tells more feelings than real events, in a chronological order.
Thank you very much, Dominic. Yeah. Thank you very much. We came to a conclusion, and thank you for being with us. And this is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.